One writer said this, in fact, it was John Newton actually said. He said, I am not what I might be. Let me make sure this is on. I'm sorry. I am not what I might be. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I wish to be. I'm not what I hope to be. But I thank God I'm not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Isn't that good? I saw a similar phrase written on the shoe of one of our Bronco players this week. By the grace of God, I am what I am. So in this questionnaire that you just filled out, number 7 really is something we want to address today. How would you explain the Holy Spirit's involvement in your meditation of the Word and your prayer time? How would you explain the Holy Spirit's involvement in your meditation of the Word and prayer time? Well, you know, one of the methods of studying the Bible is when you come to a passage, like a chapter, one of the first things you do is read through it a couple times. And then if you use a highlighter or underline, you look at the imperatives. You look at the imperatives. That's the commands. What am I commanded to do? What is the writer commanding here? And in this passage, you've got building up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost, imperative in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. And how? Looking for the mercy of our Lord. Well, last time in our study, we looked at what it means to build up ourselves on our most holy faith. And we just basically explained it two ways. Number one, on the initial faith or grace God gives us at salvation. That's what it means. We build upon that initial faith. And we actually looked at 2 Peter, where we add to our faith virtue to virtue, knowledge, on, or self-control. And so it building up upon your faith. And so we know, for by grace are you saved through faith. So there's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. And there's nothing I can do to lose that salvation God's given me. But we know that once God has begun a good work in our hearts and lives, He is going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And He does that by the Holy Spirit. Now, the second thing it means to build ourselves on our most holy faith means we build upon that whole embodiment of truth. The whole Scripture, everything we believe, erecting and framing and constructing a building of our relationship with God. And as you know, as you look at this passage, you notice there's something we must do ourselves. There's things we've got to do to grow. So it says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves, ourselves, on your most holy faith. So we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. And the word building actually, grammatically, is a present participle. The idea of continuous action. Building, 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 building. Same as praying. We're praying, 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 praying. And the idea is it's a lifelong task. Building on our most holy faith is something we're always going to be doing. Brother Walt, let me ask you a question. Have you arrived in your spiritual life? You arrived at perfection in your spiritual walk? No, sir. He's been around a lot longer than many of us. Maybe all of us or most of us. But He's not arrived. You know, that's the way this passage has given it to us. And so He says, then praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, that's a present active participle. Continually praying. Always praying. a lifestyle of praying in the Holy Spirit. So that begs the question, what on earth does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? Thought about that? Quite frankly, most who read this phrase, praying in the Holy Spirit, just blow it off. I mean, just go right past it. Oh, okay, praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay, now what else is there? And I think this phrase, praying in the Holy Ghost, may be the most important passage in the Bible regarding our prayer lives. Did you hear what I said? Now, let me say one other thing. I pray every day for most of you. I'm not saying that because I'm a great Christian, I'm just saying I do that. But there's two young men I pray for specifically every day that God would prepare them for Bible Institute that we want to instill again and give them deeper doctrine. And I pulled one of them aside this morning and I said, if you were taking the Bible Institute, if you were actually in class, what I am teaching today, I would give you in that class. It'd probably take us 3 weeks to study, but I will give you a test over it. And so I may say to Josh and Vinny, after this is over today, I'm going to give you a test on this. So just be ready, guys. So what does it mean to pray in the Holy Ghost? What does it mean? Well, it means to pray by means of the Holy Ghost. It means to pray in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the thought is the Holy Spirit is very active in our prayer lives. It means that the Spirit of God is actually prompting us or moving us as we pray. It means that the Holy Spirit is giving a target in our prayer. He's guiding us. Now, quite frankly, I think a lot of Christians are afraid to actually think about praying in the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because of the abuse of it by the Pentecostals. They associate praying in the Holy Spirit with the tongues movement. Snakes and froth and, you know, that's not what Paul means here. That's not what Jude means here, excuse me. He's not talking about speaking in tongues. To pray in the Holy Spirit does not mean running around and doing somersaults in the service and standing up and acting crazy. That's not what it means. Now, to pray in the Holy Spirit, I think in order to understand what it means, I think we need to understand, first of all, who the Holy Spirit is. Who exactly is the Holy Spirit? Or what exactly is the Holy Spirit? So the question is, what do we know? What do you know about the Holy Spirit? Is he a force? It's like, may the force be with you. Are you with me? If you were to define the Holy Spirit, would you say the Holy Spirit is a force? Or is he a power? Or a person? Well, let's talk about this. Before we can understand what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit, I think we need to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Amen? So hang on. Some of this I'm just going to give you like a machine gun. Just give it to you. Let you go home and study it. So first of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. Not a force. Not a liquid. Which, by the way, the Mormons, when their early development of trying to define what the Holy Spirit is, they said the Holy Spirit is a liquid. And then many of the cults believe the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is not the mind of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is not a non-entity. The Holy Spirit is not an idea. The Holy Spirit is a real person. Let me explain. The Holy Spirit has an intellect. Do you know that? He knows and searches the things of God. Romans 8:27 says he searches the hearts. 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit has an intellect. He thinks as God thinks. Then he has emotions and feelings. You know, Ephesians 4:30 says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Holy Spirit has emotions. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved, made sad. Holy Spirit has a will. He testifies. He guides. He convicts. The Holy Spirit restrains. The Holy Spirit commands and directs people. The Holy Spirit performs miracles. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit calls people to special service. He sends people to certain areas of service. Turn to Acts chapter 13 with me. Acts chapter 13. It's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Fifth book in the New Testament. Look at Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, what's the next phrase? The Holy Ghost said. Okay, the Holy Ghost is speaking here. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Separate them. Pull them aside. I have something special for these men to do. So he sends people to areas of service. Now turn to Romans chapter 8. This is a passage that comes into my mind almost daily. Romans chapter 8, because we're going to see that the Holy Spirit intercedes. The Holy Spirit intercedes. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Watch this. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You ever feel that way? Amen. Oh man, Lord, I just don't know what to say here. I don't know how to pray. Alright? So he says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what that means? The Holy Spirit pleads on our behalf. He intercedes on our behalf. It's like I'm praying, dear God, I pray that you would call such and such to be a medical doctor. The Holy Spirit is saying, no, I don't want him to be a medical doctor. I'm going to intercede in this prayer. I'm going to interpret this prayer. Call him to, and the Holy Spirit will fill in the blank. Sometimes, I'll just give you a stupid illustration. It's like somebody in the pulpit here says, and Lord, help Pastor Scott because he's up at a camp ministering this morning. And I'm standing in the foyer. Help him as he's up at this camp preaching. And so the Holy Spirit is saying, let me interpret this prayer. Help Pastor Scott as he's in the foyer right now, but help him. You see how that works? It's the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Thank God for that. Then the Holy Spirit can be obeyed or disobeyed. You simply see that as you study Acts chapter 10. So, first point. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, second of all, the Holy Spirit is God. It's God. 1 Corinthians, we read, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 and 12, tells us that the Holy Spirit is omniscient. He knows everything. And we read a moment ago that he has the mind of God. The Holy Spirit sees and knows everything. And Psalm 139, turn to Psalm 139 real quick. Psalm chapter 139. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. That means the Holy Spirit is present everywhere. The Holy Spirit is present everywhere. Look at Psalm 139, verse 7. Are you there? It says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there." So he starts out by saying, where am I going to go from to get away from the Holy Spirit? He says, if I ascend, verse 8, into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Holy Spirit, you're there. Psalm 139, verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. The thought is, if I go and down into the depth of the sea, and I get in a bed, and I cover myself with the sheets and blankets, you even see me then. Because the Holy Spirit can see everything, and he knows everything. He's omnipresent. And then the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. Zechariah 4:6. I think this is a very familiar verse to many. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit saith the Lord of hosts. So the Holy Spirit is all powerful. And then the Holy Spirit is truth. 1 John 5:6. It's the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. You simply obey the Holy Spirit in your life, there'll be nothing fake, nothing false. The Holy Spirit will guide you in the area of truth. Now, turn to this passage, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, that's just before Revelation. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. 1 John chapter 5. Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Now, while you're turning there, let me say, somebody says, well, what is the Trinity? It's like the cultists come to my door. And they're waiting for me to say Trinity. And they'll say, aha, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. And I will say to them, well, the word Bible is not found in the Bible. But the word Trinity describes something we believe. And if I were to define the Trinity, it'd go like this. Within the nature of the one God are three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three are called God, and there's only one God. Let me give that to you again. Within the nature of the one God are three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three in the Scriptures are called God. And there's only one God. All right? Well, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. Look at 1 John 5. Look at verses 7 and 8. Now, if you have a different translation, there'll be an asterisk there. And that verse won't be there. They cross it out. If you have a King James Bible, it's there. By the way, that's one of the reasons why I read the King James Bible. I don't like coming to passages and all of a sudden they're crossed out. Because these are in the original manuscripts. Okay? Anyway, look at verse 7. It says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost." Okay? The Word, by the way, John 1 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's talking about Jesus. So there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. So the Holy Ghost, there it says, is one with the Father and the Son. These three are one. So the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. So when you talk about the Holy Spirit, you're talking about God, the Spirit. Now, let's go on. The Holy Spirit gives life. Gives life. Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Then you could go on. The Holy Spirit creates. He created the universe. By the way, who created the universe? God the Father did. Colossians says Jesus did. And there's several passages that says the Holy Spirit created the universe. Now, which one's right? They're all right. Because all three are God. And there's one God. So He creates, He inspires, and the Holy Spirit, it says, be God Christ. Now, let's go on. Now, the third thing. The Holy Spirit ministers in different ways. The Holy Spirit ministers in different ways. And I'm going to go through this quickly. He leads. He leads. Matthew 4:1. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Acts 10:19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. And the rest of the passage says, you better go down and greet those three men. You know, this is so awesome. You know, a Christian that's led by the Holy Spirit can be driving down the street, down the road, and the Holy Spirit will say, turn right. Go right. What? Go right. You ever have the Spirit of God say that? Now, I'm not talking about being a weirdo or a wacko. You know, the Holy Spirit will lead you maybe one day to go. You're coming into church and the Holy Spirit will say, all right, put your Bible in your spot, save a place. Now go talk to this person. You'll say, but I don't know that person. And the Spirit of God says, go talk to him. You know, once you start talking with that person, you understand that was the Holy Spirit. And now you understand why the Spirit of God led you that way. So the Holy Spirit leads. Then the Holy Spirit speaks in us. Matthew 10:20, it's not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. The Holy Spirit gives the power to cast out demons. Matthew 12:28, but if I cast out demons or devils by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. The Holy Spirit gives the power to cast out demons. Then the Holy Spirit reveals God's plans. Luke chapter 2. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 2. The Holy Spirit reveals God's plans. The Holy Spirit will speak and say, you know, here's my plan for your life. To me, this is big. Look at verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the Christ child to be born. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the what? Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So what happened here? The Holy Spirit told Simeon, Simeon, even though you're an old man, you've been waiting for the Christ child, I won't let you die until you see the Christ child. Then it says, and he came by the Spirit, remember, he's led by the Spirit, now the Spirit is revealing God's plan. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the Christ child to do for him after the custom of the law, etc., etc., he held the Christ child. And then he was ready to die. To me, that's so powerful. Then the Holy Spirit anoints to preach. He anoints someone to preach. Turn, you're in Luke chapter 2. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Jesus speaking here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach. Did you know the Holy Spirit anoints people to preach? You ever been around somebody that's anointed? Anointed to preach? That's like called to preach. Then let me go on. The Holy Spirit gives a new birth. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you are born again. And the Holy Spirit does that once you receive Christ. John chapter 3, 5 and 6. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's been born physically, and of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So unless you've been born physically and then now spiritually by the Holy Spirit, you can't go to heaven. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gives new birth. Now let's go on. It gets better. The Holy Spirit guides into all truth. John chapter 16. In fact, turn to John. We've got several verses in John, I think, coming up. John chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 16. Look at verse 13. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Remember, the Holy Spirit is truth. When he is come, it's like Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. This is Jesus talking to the apostles. When he's come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, I think we understand that Jesus is saying to the apostles, men, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He's going to give you the ability to write the Scriptures. He's going to guide you into all truth. Okay, that's the interpretation of the passage. But you rise above it as you bring an application here. The Holy Spirit is all about showing truth, guiding us in truth. And many times I'll come to this, come to God and say, Spirit of God, I need some help here. I don't know what to do. I have a situation. Somebody's wanting counsel. And Holy Spirit, would you guide me into the truth of your word? Would you show me where to go? And many times, the Spirit of God will do just exactly that. He guides into all truth. And then John 16, look at verse 14. It gets better. Look at verse 14, John 16. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit will glorify me. This is Jesus speaking. He's saying, I'm going to leave someday. That's what he's telling his disciples. I'm going to leave. He talks. The thought is, I'm going to ascend to heaven. But don't worry. I'm going to send you a comforter. That's the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you into all truth. And here, he's going to glorify me. What does that mean? That means whenever the Holy Spirit is involved, whatever the Holy Spirit is involved in, it will bring glory to Jesus. So I'll put it in practical terms. He will make Jesus look good. So if you are walking in the Spirit, you're going to be making Jesus look good. Not yourself. Not your gift. You're going to be having a desire to make Jesus look good. That's why I'm leery of movements, watch this, movements that are all about the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. Does that make sense? I was given an assignment in seminary to do a study on the Holy Spirit. I spent hours and hours of study on the Holy Spirit. I found that at the end of my study, I was not studying the Holy Spirit anymore. I was studying the life of Christ, the life of Jesus. Why? Because the job of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus look good. Hey, let's get more practical. You're in line at the supermarket. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, prompts you. And normally when the Holy Spirit does that, what is He prompting you to do? Tell that person about Jesus. It's like, I had one waitress. Karen and I were at a restaurant. One waitress. And I just knew the Spirit of God wanted me to talk to her. I said to this gal, I said, hey, I know you're busy. It was a full crowd. I know you're busy. I just want to tell you something. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for your sins. He was buried and rose from the dead. That's it. Her response was, I don't remember if she got tears or whatever she did, but she said, oh, she said, thank you. This is exactly what I needed today. And she began to talk about what's happening in her life. But the Holy Spirit prompted me just simply to tell her Jesus loves her, died for her sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. That's it. That's the gospel. So the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. Now, let's move on quickly. The Holy Spirit directs. Acts 8, verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. The Holy Spirit directs. The Holy Spirit hinders, by the way. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit may put a hindrance in your direction. I mean, you've applied for this. You're thinking, man, the Spirit of God, God is just opening doors. Boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden, there's a stop. There's a hindrance. There's a closed door. You're thinking, what on earth? What is this? Well, the Holy Spirit may be the one who closed that door. The Holy Spirit may be the one who is hindering you to go the next step. Acts 16, verse 7. You can find this all through the book of Acts. Acts 16, verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. That means they wanted, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit didn't allow them to go. As you read on in a passage, there's one where the Holy Spirit says, okay, you can go through this whole region of hundreds of miles, but don't preach. And you figure that one out. Well, as you see the rest of the story, the Holy Spirit wanted them to go through that place quickly to get to a situation where He gave them the Macedonian call to go over to Europe and give them the gospel. But the Holy Spirit knew He didn't want them to preach in that area. He wanted them to go quickly so they could go to another place to preach. Then, next, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. Are you ready to come up for air yet? Holy Spirit indwells the believer. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your body now has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? It's like, don't you know that? That the Holy Spirit has in you and your body has become the temple? One man said to me, hey, Pastor Scott, how big's your sanctuary? I said, none of your business. He said, how high, how tall is it? None of your business. And I said, well, wait a minute, 6'1". How wide is your sanctuary? I said, none of your business. Why? Because the sanctuary is my body. My body is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. And next, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. And we looked at this, so I'll just give it to you. No, next, the Holy Spirit confirms in our spirit. At Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit now is in you and confirms the fact that you are saved. You know, one reason people doubt their salvation, one reason could be that the Spirit of God is quenched in your life. Yes, you're doing something to violate the Word of God and to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so there's no confirmation of your salvation. Doesn't mean you're not saved. But that's why you're doubting your salvation, is because you've quenched the Holy Spirit. And the key for you is not to get saved again. The key for you is to get right with God. Confess the sin and make it right. So the Holy Spirit confirms in our spirit. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. The Holy Spirit quickly enables us to preach effectively. That word preach is a word which means to give the gospel, to speak well. That's just not talking about pastors here. The Holy Spirit will help you to give the gospel effectively. I'm so impressed with the Apostle Paul when he went to Corinth. I think maybe he stuttered. He was around big heads, fat heads, the intelligentsia of society. And oh boy, was he afraid. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, he says in my speech, he goes earlier, he says, I was with you in fear and much trembling. And then verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Then he says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, my speech, my preaching, everything, I couldn't say it right, but it wasn't about that. The Holy Spirit is the one that enabled me. Boy, that meant so much to me. It means so much to me now. I don't claim to be a great preacher or a great communicator. I remember when I first started preaching, boy, this verse really stood out to me. And I thought, wow, I can't say it right. I don't pronounce words right. And I repeat myself. And, you know, and the Spirit of God was the one that has to be the one that gives me His power. Then, quickly, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. What does that mean? It means He places us into the body of Christ. That means when you see me, you see Craig Scott. But when God sees me, who does He see? He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because I've been baptized. I've been placed into, that's not talking about water baptism there. I've been placed into the body of Christ. So now, when God sees me, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. He will not condemn His Son to hell, and I am in Christ Jesus when I come to know Christ. What a blessed doctrine. Amen? And then He seals us. That means He puts His stamp of ownership on our lives. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest, or the down payment, of the Spirit in our hearts. Next, the Holy Spirit keeps us from sin. Galatians 5:16-18. Then the Holy Spirit gives us access to the Father. Ephesians 2:18. It says, for through Him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Then the Holy Spirit gives strength in our inner man. Ephesians 3:16. And then the Holy Spirit gives us eternal security. 1 John 4:13, we looked at that. Now quickly, and we're going to get right to Jude 1 and close. Specific commands concerning the Holy Spirit. Watch this. If you haven't heard anything, hear this. 4 specific commands that God gives me. Number 1, be filled. Be filled by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. Watch this. It doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that. Like you fill up a glass. It doesn't mean that. The word filled there means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Look the word up. That's what it means. So for me to be filled with the Spirit means to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. That means if the Holy Spirit says, go this way, I go this way. If the Holy Spirit says, stop, I stop. If the Holy Spirit says, turn right, I turn right. If the Holy Spirit says, talk to this person about Jesus, I talk to him about Jesus. If the Holy Spirit says, don't go near that conversation. Young people, hear me. If you're a Spirit-filled young person, the Holy Spirit may say to you, you're going this way, stay away from that crowd. Don't go near them. Why? Because they're immoral. They're talking about things that do not glorify Christ. Go this way. Do this. Wear this. Don't wear that. Look this way. Don't look that way. Here's the passage in Scripture. As you're reading the Scripture, oh my, it's jumped out at me. Spirit of God, what is it that you want me to learn about this verse? What a blessed thing to be a Christian that's moment by moment yielded to the Holy Spirit, filled by the Spirit of God. Then the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, it says. Grieve not the Holy Spirit means don't offend the Holy Spirit. Why? How is the Holy Spirit grieved? Are you with me? How do I grieve the Holy Spirit? Yeah, sin. Sin means by doing something that violates God's word, God's will. And then the Holy Spirit is grieved in my life. The most miserable person here this morning, listen to me. The most miserable person here this morning is not somebody that's lost. It's surely not a Spirit-filled Christian. The most miserable person here today listening to me is a Christian that's out of fellowship with God. A Christian that's grieving the Holy Spirit. Next one, quench not the Holy Spirit. Don't quench Him. Don't grieve Him. Don't quench Him. 1 Corinthians 5:19. It's like, don't put out His fire. Spirit of God is working in your life. You're yielded to the Spirit of God. Don't do anything, say anything that would put the fire out. And Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. By the way, you often hear a sermon that says our only offensive weapon against the devil is the spoken word of God. Ephesians 6. You've got put on the whole armor of God. You've got the armor of God. And then you say the only offensive weapon is the word of God. But they forget the fact that there's a colon there at the end, grammatically. And it says, praying in the Holy Spirit, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. My second offensive weapon is Spirit-filled, Spirit-led prayer. Not just the Word of God. Now we're in Jude. Back to Jude. This is what I'm preaching on, Jude. Now I'm just going to comment. We're going to quit. Verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? When I pray, I am praying by means of the Holy Spirit. I am praying in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. I need some help. Lance, come here. I want you, and when I give you the word here, I want you simply to start praying by name, by each one in your family, all right?
Okay.
All right, start praying. And I'm the Holy Spirit now, and you're going to obey me. When I tell you to stop, you stop. When I tell you to change your prayer, you change your prayer. And I'm going to show you what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit. Go.
Dear Lord, I pray for my dad, that he will continue to heal with his ailments, Lord. I
Stop. I want you also to pray that your dad would be a man of the word. Go ahead.
I pray, Lord, that my dad will be a man of the word for you, that he will continue to be a spiritual father in my life.
Stop. And that he would have strength in his life.
And that he will have strength in his life.
Okay, Lord. Keep going.
I pray, Lord, that he will continue to show me the ways that he has showed me, Lord, through you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for...
Stop. And that you would obey your dad.
And that I will obey my dad.
Stop. Especially when he tells me what not to do and what to do.
Especially when he tells me what to do and what not to do.
Keep praying.
Pray, Lord, for...
My mother.
My mother. The godly mom she is, Lord. Thank you for her showing me the ways of how to...
Stop. I want you today, when you get done, I want you to write your mom a note and tell her how much you appreciate her. Now keep praying for your mom.
Thank you, Lord, that she has trained me in the way I should go. Pray, Lord, that I will obey my mom.
Stop.
And I will listen.
Stop. Today, when you're done, I want you to ask your mom if she sees anything in your life that you need to work on. Keep praying.
Pray, Lord, that...
Stop. That's praying in the Holy Spirit. Thanks, Lynn. You go sit down. That's how God works in our lives. That's how we pray. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, stop talking. You just talk. Stop it. I want you to write a text to somebody telling them you love them and appreciate them. All right, I'm going to text them. All right, now continue to pray. Lord, I pray this next person, this next thing on my list, and I pray, stop. I want you to go to a certain passage of Scripture now that I have for you. Okay, I'm going there. Now, stop. I want you to go back and pray through these others in your list. You see, isn't that a powerful thing? It's to listen to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit prompts you in your prayer. I like what Matthew Henry said. He said our prayers are then most likely to prevail when we pray in the Holy Ghost. That is, under His guidance and influence, according to the rule of His Word, with faith and fervency and constant persevering importunity. That is, praying in the Holy Ghost, whether it be done by or without a set prescribed form. Sometimes we're so much in a hurry to get through our prayer list. We're not giving the Holy Spirit time to speak. The Holy Spirit, time to redirect our prayer. Now, quickly. Holy Spirit needs to help us in our prayers because of four things. I just give them to you. I'm going to finish the sermon next week. Because, number one, our prayers are deficient. That's why I need the Holy Spirit. I say stupid things in my prayer. And I need the Holy Spirit because my prayers are deficient. Number two, and there are several passages there, our prayers lack discernment. I'm not discerning the will of God when I pray. And number three, because our prayers are so self-focused. James said, we ask and receive not. Why? Because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lusts. Listen. You're saying, God, give me 100 souls this year. That may be self-focused. Are you with me? Why do you want 100 souls? Well, because I can tell everybody I had 100 souls led to Christ this year. Stop, you selfish person. Self-centered, self-focused. Thank God for souls being saved. You understand what I'm saying? Say amen. Because our prayers are self-focused. And a self-focus means self-pity, poor me. And so you start praying. And, hey, would you pray with me? Yes. And halfway through your prayer, you start crying. And all of a sudden, you're begging about you. Why? Not so much that you're seeking God, but that you can feel pity from the person that's praying with you. Self-pity. Self-ambition. I want this. I want this. No, Lord, give me, give me, give me. And self-display. Oh, good night. The Pharisees were plagued with this during the time of Jesus. Self-display. They'd actually pray with somebody out on the street corner blowing a trumpet and another clanging a cymbal. Why? So everybody could see your spirituality. I'm leery. By the way, I've gone from preaching to meddling now. I'm leery. When there's somebody that will stand up and pray and pray and pray a long prayer, and all of a sudden they're instructing God Himself on His doctrine, I'm saying, wait a minute, what on earth are you doing? Jesus said, let your long prayers be in the closet. When you pray publicly, let them be short, specific, to the point. The long prayers are to be seen of men. That's what the Pharisees did. So our prayers are to be deficient. They lack discernment, self-focus. And the reason we need the Holy Spirit is because our prayers are so human. Father, thank you for your word. I do pray that, God, that you would help us, help me, help us to learn to pray in the Holy Ghost.